We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Molly Ann Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. John Heyman joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your Car X man has the lowest tire prices right now. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
There's a little disappointment in Chicago. Let's be honest about it. It's just we thought things might go a little differently, but still a great year for the Cubs. I can't sit here and tell you that it wasn't a good year. Having said that, I think that a lot of people are very disappointed this morning. It's just the nature of the animal.
Yeah, as John Lester said after the game, giving us all a little history lesson, you can't be in the World Series every year. I think probably the Cubs fans know that by now. But, I think they were very realistic in there. They were obviously very disappointed, but the better team won this year. The Cubs were the better team last year. And I mean, the Dodgers were the best team in the regular season. They had that one blip, that terrible month. Other than that, they were absolutely fantastic. So, it's probably not a shock to anybody that the Dodgers got their act together and ended up winning it.
You know, that's the thing, John. When the Cubs just got swept out by the Mets a couple years ago, I was much more angry and disappointed and frustrated because you didn't know if you're going to win that World Series. And now that you have, you feel more content that the powers that be know how to get it done. And, you know, I didn't want to hear Chris Bryant the other day talking about being beaten, tired, and all that. And Anthony Rizzo said, I can run laps around Wrigley Field. That's why I wanted to hear, even if they were, in fact, tired and beat. But you just didn't want to hear it at that time. But you heard more of the same last night in the post game, and now maybe is the time for them to, for all of us to kind of look at it and say, well, yeah, it was a different slog and took a lot out of them.
Yeah, I mean, they basically played year-round, it seemed like, or celebrated. And there certainly was a hangover in the first half. They got their act together. Obviously a great team, a very special team. Feels a little bit like Yankees 97. Might be a dynasty. Maybe they'll come back and start winning World Series again. You never know. But I think really what happened, beyond the fact that L.A. was the better team and L.A. got to play the wild card team, which was expended energy and in a tough spot. The team that had to play Washington in the first round, really tough the last 2 years. Washington may not be able to win that first round, but they are a very, very tough out. They have lost 8 one-run games in a row, but look at it last year. They forced the Dodgers to use Kershaw in Game 5. They were pretty well spent by the time they played the Cubs. Not that the Cubs wouldn't have won, they were the better team. This year, I mean, the Cubs had to use Lester in Game 4 in relief. They had to use Quintana in Game 5 in relief. I think the Cubs were spent. That bullpen was not the same. Wilson they couldn't even use. And the other guys just were either tired or not that great. Bryant, to me, I think was being honest. So we like honesty in the media, don't we?
Yes, we do. It's a laudable quality and one you rarely get, sadly. But, John, let's be honest about Jason Hayward. You know, that's 2 years running where you had to kind of replace him at the end of the season, where he had to be benched in the playoffs because you just weren't getting anything out of him. And, again, you can carry that. You can carry his bat. His defense is so good, provided everyone else is hitting. But once you are desperate for runs and everybody shut down, it's not just one guy, you could no longer carry a guy that you knew wasn't going to hit.
Yeah, not in the lineup, but obviously the guy's an incredible defender. Doesn't have to hit that much to be valuable over the course of the regular season, but you've got to play the hot bats. I mean, you're not going to bench Bryant or Rizzo or Contreras or probably Baez or Russell either, but Hayward is in this spot right now where he is below average offensively, incredible defensively, and, they have other options. They have Happ, they've got Schwarber, they've got other guys. that are better hitters at this point. Hayward certainly improved this year over last year, so you got to give him credit for that. But right, offensively, they need the runs when they're in that situation, and they're playing Kershaw. They knew they weren't going to get a lot of runs, but they needed the ones they could get. So you're absolutely right. Big contract. The Cubs weren't the only ones willing to do it. Washington was willing to do it. St. Louis wanted him back. They had him. You know, I love Jason Hayward. Terrific guy. I don't quite get the fact that three teams wanted to pay him close to $200 million. Incredible defender. But at this stage, he's not a great hitter. But let's not forget that he definitely improved offensively over last year, so that's at least a little plus.
Fatigue is one thing, and I hope that Theo and Jed just don't buy that and say, okay, we were just a collectively tired bunch and we're good to go next year. You might be good enough to get through the division again, but you have bullpen issues. Theo said here on the station yesterday he was going to fix those. How do you do that? Do you keep Wade Davis? Do you pay him? They normally don't do it. How do you go get the top of the order guy? How much are you willing to give up in trade? Because it seems like that's how you're going to have to do it if you want to make that change.
Yeah, I mean, pitching is going to be the whole thing. They have that great young nucleus and still pretty well priced. They'll get raises, but still pretty well priced next year. So they should have leeway. Obviously, they make a lot of money. Their revenues are excellent. They haven't wanted to go over the luxury tax in the past. They're very creative. Maybe they can do it without going over. It's not going to be easy. Obviously, they're going to have to replace Arrieta. We're assuming he will not be back. And maybe they will sign Davis. You know, they have not done that kind of thing in the past. But I think it's become clear that you need that bullpen stopper. And that's why those guys got $80 million last year for Jansen, $86 million. For Chapman, certainly Jansen, well worth it. I mean, the guy's incredible. Not only lights out, a rubber arm. The Cubs have a lifetime 100-100 batting average against this guy. They really hardly ever get to him. There was the 2012 home run by Rizzo. He threw a wild pitch one time. Other than that, clean slate versus them. So you need that back end of the bullpen. There aren't guys throwing 9 innings or even 8 innings anymore unless you're Justin Verlander. So you need to bulk up that bullpen. I think that's probably number one, but you're going to need another starter. Lackey, obviously, not coming back, probably retiring, and you've got Arrieta, I think, unlikely at this point.
So how do you prioritize it, John? The bullpen, you talk about the starting pitching, and you talk about, you know, while you're at it, how about a leadoff bat or somebody that's that is more of an on-base percentage guy? You know, you got a lot of, you know, Zobrist looked like he's finished, frankly, toward the end of the year. And again, that's just one reporter's opinion. But they got a lot of things they really need to address at some point, including Schwarber and what his future is and all that.
Right. I mean, they could conceivably consider a trade for Schwarber. Obviously, they love him. He's got 40 home run potential, but yeah. Is he more valuable in the American League? Maybe that gets you a pitcher, something really good back. Obviously, still young, very, very young, very inexpensive. That's a possibility. They're going to have to spend some money, though, because beyond that, and I don't see them trading anybody else with value,
right.
You know, their farm system is depleted. Eloy Jimenez, as we know, was their big chip, and he was used for Quintana. Can't regret that. 3 more years, a solid starter at a very, very reasonable rate. So, you know, I think that was a good trade for both teams, but they're going to have to be creative and willing to spend, really, to come back and threaten again. It's great to have that great young nucleus of position players, but right now that rotation is not very, very beyond thin. It's pretty thin right now, and the bullpen is a big question as well. So I hope they're willing to go over the luxury tax threshold. They haven't done it in the past. Their penalty would be small because they haven't consistently done it. So they should do that, and they should have to do that. And there are going to be some starters out there. Tanaka's going to opt out, I'm sure, now. Obviously, you've got Darvish. You've got Alex Cobb, who I think they like. Lance Lynn, potentially. I mean, I know it's not it's a pretty thin group, but there are guys out there, and I think the Cubs are going to need to grab one of them.
All righty, John. Thank you, buddy. It's been a joy. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Thanks, John. Enjoy the World Series.
Yeah.
All right, I will.
We'll be reading.
God bless. That's John Heyman from the MLB Network and
FanReg Sports.
FanReg and Today's Knuckleball. We should talk about it a little bit, you know? I mean, this is not the end of anything but 1 year, right? I mean, you're expecting this team to be back, but the pitching, when you start going over the list and a number of guys and who you have to trade, and you know, don't forget the minor league system, right? Where are you at? Where are you at with this pitching? They did invest in pitching last year, but how long does that take?
Now what they didn't want to do before is what they're likely going to have to do at some point, trade off the major league roster. It's a matter of who and to where and for what.
Who would you trade? Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is Chris Bryant talking about the makeup of the team. And we just had a conversation with John Heyman, who said, yeah, it's possible the Cubs may do something they don't want to do, which is trade a player off the major league roster in order to shore up the pitching, in order to get the things that they need to get done in the offseason. They're not anxious to do that, but that may well end up being what it is. And we asked the question of who would you do it? Who would you consider trading? Who would you move? And you know, it's interesting, Brian, because the numbers for so many of these guys are down. And, you know, you look at the WAR, if that's what you like to look at, and it's pretty surprising. You know, you just heard Chris Bryant. He had an 8.3 WAR last year, and it's 6.7 this year. Still a really great year. Still the highest on the team, but not quite
MVP material.
As good as he was. Anthony Rizzo was a 5.1 WAR, and I'm not suggesting you trade either of these guys.
No, they're not going anywhere. No,
he's a 4.0 this year, so he had a pretty precipitous drop. If their WAR goes up a point plus, then you'd say, wow, they had a pretty good year. His dropped. Contreras was a 2.2 last year, didn't play much. He's a 3.2. I think that's going up.
He carried the team before getting hurt.
No question.
I mean, he was the guy, the catalyst.
These are the untouchables, right? These are guys that you would never.
They're the core moving forward.
Talk about moving.
Hayward's not going anywhere because people are suggesting the Cubs could eat contract and send him. He's not going anywhere, so you have to figure out what you're doing with him.
Hayward's WAR last year was 1.5. Mm-hmm. Guess what it is this year?
0.8.
0.9.
There you go.
That's not as good as you'd hope.
No. So
for $30 million or whatever.
And you ask the question, and we're going to get to the calls. A lot of texters. It's amazing to see the range of texts from just do a little bit here or there to, boy, look at this whole lineup. It's terrible. They've got Addison Russell's overrated. Bias can't hit. Trade.
Oh, my God.
We've got guys who just want a clean house.
Take a guess. Addison Russell's WAR, the drop in that. Last year, I'll give you for reference, was 3.9.
1.4.
Yes, well played.
Really?
1.4.
Right on the nose.
There
that's pretty
good.
For the future MVP,
that's
Addison Russell.
Good.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow, see what you
no
did there?
No one's saying that, man. No one is saying that. Baez, he dropped. He dropped from a 2.7 to a 2.2.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not as... That's not dropping 3 points, 3.5 points.
So the question on the table... how much heavy lifting has to be done? How do you get it done? And who does that mean?
Schwarber had no WAR last year because he didn't play, basically. Right. But he was a 1.5 this year, and that's with all his struggles. And
boy,
the
that's
whole
better than you would have thought, right?
And Addison Russell, 1.4.
That's the 30 home runs. 30 home runs, I get it. Everyone says, well, he can still hit the ball out of the ballpark. And when he does, sometimes their tape measure shots get out tape measure, Pat. But in the year of 6,100-plus home runs and where you had how many people – you know, how many players around the 20 to 25 home run mark? Is that still, does 30 still get people's attention if you're a GM? Maybe in New York, maybe with that short porch in Yankee Stadium, you envision
maybe in
twice
the American
as many.
League.
Yeah.
Let's try Don. He's in Oak Park. He's Oak Park Don.
Well, you guys are echoing everything I was thinking and saying. The playoffs went about the way the whole season went. The Cubs never hit this year. And if you look at the amount of men they left on base, I bet it set a record. We just haven't talked about it. But if we could look that up one day, you'll see they left a tremendous amount of men on base. Second of all, Jason Hayward has got an absolute pass in this town, and it's time we call him out. Jason Hayward is too big and too strong to hit 8 home runs and drive in 58 RBIs and had over 400 plate appearances. That's ridiculous for him. Jason Hayward's a bust, and I don't even understand that. I don't even understand how he's like that. Chris Bryant had a terrible year.
Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane.
Exactly.
Do you think it, Don? I mean, when you look at Hayward, what is it? Are you not buying that he tried to redo it in the offseason? Is it want to?
He did. He tried.
I know.
You know
what?
I just think that Jason Hayward he has a good eye at the plate. It's not like he swings a lot of bad pitches. He just can no longer make solid contact with the baseball. How does a guy his size playing in Wrigley Field, over 400 plate appearances played every day, come up with 8 home runs and just barely 50 RBIs?
And again, you know, we always hear people say when people want to diss the Cubs, well, they're playing Cincinnati. Oh, they're playing this bad division. Well, guess what? He is too. And he's
sure.
not doing anything.
He's not feasting off the bottom feeders.
It's not like, yeah, exactly. It's not like he suddenly comes to play when, and again, I that's just who he is. It was just a bad thing that happened there. Let's try Mike. He's in Evanston. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. A couple points. I don't think the front office has the gall to go after Darvish or Tanaka. I really don't. Mm. I don't see them making it. They need to do it. I just don't see them doing it because I don't think they have the gall to do it. Just like the last caller said, Hayward's dead ass has to go.
Where's he going?
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. I mean,
I don't care.
He's not opting out. He's not opting out.
No,
he can't trade him.
He can opt out after next year.
I know, but I mean, are you kidding me?
You know, I've decided I need to make half the money because I don't deserve it.
Let me talk for a second.
I'm sorry.
But let them figure it out. That's their problem, not ours. It's not our problem anymore to see Hayward out there batting and swinging and hitting ground balls and pop flies. He's got to get out of there. The Cubs don't have an elite hitter. Bryant and Rizzo are close and well above average. But they need to have an elite hitter out there. They need to score runs to win games. They didn't do it this year. Fine. If you want to play Al Morris, Schwarber, and Happ in the outfield, 150 games next year, fine. But they've got to do something about right field. You want to trade Schwarber, fine, but you've got to find a right fielder that can hit an elite hitter. They need it. Obviously, the bullpen's an issue, but the front office, they better grab, pike up their skirts and find themselves and sign two. They need to sign two solid starting pitchers. And if they have to trade for a younger guy.
Did you say hike up the skirts?
They better hike up their skirts and find their.
Wow, that's mean spirited.
Wow.
They better.
They're going to hit you with their purse if you don't watch what you say.
Good Lord.
It was just a joke.
Mike sounds too young to be a caveman.
I know.
What the
that's
hell?
That's crazy.
I say we get him a hat.
Yeah, see.
Oh,
see, this is.
There you go.
This is the problem.
Kind of a MAGA hat? Or?
Yeah.
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 Who are you moving, Joe? Who would you move?
There's nobody to move. I don't care. That's not realistic.
Yeah. I think
that's for them to figure out. Let me talk.
I think they could move Baez. I don't think they'd move Addison Russell because he's kind of their guy.
He's not going anywhere.
Baez is not their guy. And I don't think they want to move Baez. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying if it comes down to it,
are you talking about a starting pitcher?
Well, that's
is the centerpiece of a big
young
trade.
It would have to be a starting pitcher. Back to Chris Archer,
Then
sign Alex Cobb. I mean, I don't.
And I'm not. Listen, Baez
Ben
is
Zobrist
my favorite.
I love that kid. Yeah, I know. He's your favorite Cub.
He really is.
Well, Ben Zobrist is just about done for the final 2 years of that contract. He's going to
couldn't you have
here and there.
Ian Happ play second base?
You could, yeah.
Mm.
Happ was actually fifth on the team in WAR this year, if you can believe that.
So it was Bryant first, then Rizzo.
Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras, Baez, Happ.
Baez, and Happ.
Crazy.
As far as the lineup issues.
That's crazy.
I mean,
yeah, top of the order guy.
The best players didn't come through. That's really what happened. I mean, we know what Jason Hayward is at the plate. He isn't much. He wasn't much when they signed him, and he just got worse over the last couple of years.
Who's your top of the order guy? If you're calling the Marlins, who is it? Yelich? Is it D. Gordon? You're finding Chris Taylor out there, some guy who watches 10 pitches?
I don't think they're letting him go.
No, but I mean,
right.
The whole idea of setting the table and making a guy work and letting everyone else see the pitches while you're watching him.
I think Almora can be that guy. He absolutely crushes lefties, and he hasn't gotten an opportunity to do it against righties. I think it's time that they give him that
chance. Isn't it weird that you come out of a year like that and you don't have
We don't know.
Yes.
No clarity.
Shouldn't you have had clarity on him?
Yes. And that's on them for not giving him some playing time throughout the year.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. He's our guy. Brad Biggs joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your Car X man has the lowest tire prices right now. He's the football man from the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this program, and our wonderful friend, Biggsy.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I don't know if you heard or not, but it's bear season has just started. It just kicked in. We'll have all our eyes on the Bears from now until the Bulls start winning some games. It should be a couple years. Hey.
You're going to be watching a hell of a lot of Bears football then, I think, right?
Well, I mean, it starts with Carolina coming in, and you had a chance to talk to Chico this week, and it's interesting because I think Luke Kuechly is a very important player for them, and he's the guy that not just positions the team, but he's the guy that yells out the play before the Bears can run it. He might know their offense better than Mitchell Trubisky. What is your gut feeling on this? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? He's in concussion protocol. He hasn't been able to practice. Where are they with him?
Yeah, well, I mean, the latest is yesterday he went through, I believe, just some individual drills in practice. So he's yet to actually practice since the Philadelphia game, which, remember, the Panthers have had the long layoff playing on the previous Thursday. So that would lead me to believe it's probably unlikely that Luke Kuechly plays Sunday at Soldier Field. I wouldn't rule it out yet. And, yeah, that would be a huge loss. And then on the other side of the ball, Kelvin Benjamin, their top wide receiver, went out of practice with a sore knee. And that becomes problematic for them as well because Greg Olsen, the tight end, is already sidelined with a fractured foot that he suffered back in week two. So the Panthers have been dealing with some injuries, and they could come in here a little shorthanded. You know, you look at the wide receiver thing and you say, well, this is a pretty big deal for the Panthers, and it is. Of course, the flip side is that Bears wide receivers aren't, real good either. But this is a chance for I think the Bears have a chance to play pretty well in this game. I think that can conceivably match up pretty well here against the Panthers, and it's an opportunity for the Bears to win back-to-back games for the first time since it was either Week 9 and Week 10 in 2015 or Week 10 and Week 11 in 2015. Yeah, John Fox's first year, they won two games in a row on two occasions. Of course, it didn't happen a year ago, but, you know, I've got questions this week, guys. Hey, with Aaron Rodgers out, is the division wide open now, and can the Bears be a player in that? And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, you can't completely rule it out. But before you start to talk about the Bears competing for anything, they've got to be able to win more than one game in a row.
And which Cam Newton do they get here? Because everyone was writing him off the week he had the fallout and the controversy with what he told the female beat writer down there, and yet he goes out there and might have had his best game of the season. And as he goes, the offense goes, and perhaps even Carolina goes, even though their defense is usually their calling card.
Yeah, well, Newton had a really big game that week in Detroit. They were pretty impressive over at Ford Field and did not play as well against the Eagles, although they had an opportunity to win that game in the final 4 minutes. I think Devin Funchess had a dropped pass at a very inopportune time for Carolina. So, yeah, Newton's going to have to be pretty good because they have not been able to run the football with any type of success this year. I believe they're last in the league in yards per carry. They're at like 3.4 yards per carry, and that factors in Newton, who averages significantly more than that. When he pulls it down and runs with it, they paired up the first-round draft pick Christian McCaffrey with Jonathan Stewart and thought they would get a little 1-2 punch going. And the thing, you know, McCaffrey's numbers would look a little bit different if he'd hit one or two big ones, which, you know, those are going to happen. You know, Jordan Howard didn't have anything spectacular until the carry in overtime last year. You just need one of them to kind of really turn the numbers around. But probably some offensive line issues involved with their run game struggles as well.
Brad, you know, it's interesting because you had the Dowell Logans come out and say that the biggest playmaker on the team is the rookie running back. And then you had John Fox say, basically, we've got what we have in terms of wide receivers. That's not exactly true.
You can't go to the department store and get them. Amazon doesn't sell them. And
what just, about the?
If you have Amazon Prime, I think they do.
No, they ship them for free. They don't sell them. Can you go to the offensive
vineyard,
the offensive line vineyard, and try to pluck a receiver?
Yeah. Well, that would you might just get an undersized offensive lineman.
Wow,
some guy with really short arms that doesn't move well.
So Jordan Howard's got to get the ball another 35 times or so to this week.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that was impressive. That was because that was a hard hitting game for him to carry the ball as many times as he did. You don't see that in a lot in the league. And I looked it up because when's the last time a Bears back carried it this many times? And I didn't know if maybe Thomas Jones had snuck one in there at some point or A-Train and one of those overtime games, but the last Bear to carry the ball that many times in a game was James Allen in 2000 against the New England Patriots. So it had been an awful long time since a Bears back had carried it that many times. And I saw him yesterday walking through the locker room. He looked like everything was, you know, good to go.
That was going to be my next question. How did he come out of it? You know, short of being on the injured list, does he feel in the effects of it?
Well, he hasn't been on the, I don't think he's been on for that shoulder lately. So I think that bodes well for them. In fact, I know it does. It surely took him a couple of days to kind of piece everything back together after taking that many hits. But I'd expect him to be good to go.
What did you make of Vic Fangio saying that he's liked Fuller for a while now and he's been talking him up for a while? Kyle Fuller probably had his best game as a Bear.
Well, he had his best game certainly since his rookie season. I don't think there's any question about that. In the first half of his rookie season, Vic basically, gave a speech at the guy's funeral last December. Is kind of how I would look at it.
Eulogy.
In lieu of flowers, please make donations to the Kyle Fuller Retirement Fund.
Right. So. Fuller's played well. He played well against the Steelers. Okay, didn't play well against Green Bay, but he's looked good this year. Now, do keep in mind that the Ravens feel the same way about their corners this week as the Bears feel about theirs. Okay, as we know, Bears wide receivers didn't do anything in that game. And the point I'm trying to make is the Ravens receivers are not good. So you shut them down, and it's impressive. It's impressive that he had his hand on the ball, that he had a deflection to set up the one interception, that he withstood multiple tests in the end zone. All very impressive. You've got to see more. You know, there's some fans that want to see him re-signed immediately.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.